I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross, may it be my glory ever. May we always revel in the grace of God, which is new every day, and his mercies are new every day. And it provides the blessed background. Should be the heart, but it's certainly background for what I want to talk about today. Let's turn to Romans 12. Now, you've been thinking about Romans concepts for months now, if you're regular here. And even last Sunday, we read and studied and discussed this passage that I want to comment on briefly and take as a launching point for some thoughts about human experience. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, there are many strands here and much that can be said. I would just observe that most of the passage probably is speaking to us individually. We individually need to respond to God. We individually need to dedicate our bodies and our hearts and our minds and so on to God. We individually need to weather the storms of life. We need to be careful to be transformed and not conformed to evil. And we also need to be conscious about how we exercise ourselves and to not esteem ourselves too highly. And then there's a shift to remind us that we are members in a body and that we, again, have individual giftings that are at variance and complementary to others, and that hopefully all of these giftings and are brought together to bring glory to God in the perfection of wholeness. And this is a passage with lots of individual teaching and laying on of individual responsibility for spiritual exercise, but then it's also brought into context that we are in a body. And so with that body idea, I would like to make this comparison. Let's say you and I were to go real estate shopping on the shores of Lake Michigan, and we would find a beautiful timber of land for sale that we think would be wonderful, a wonderful location for us to build a house, to clear some land and build a house. And so we would negotiate, and we would, I know we flatlanders may hardly think about such dense beauty, as this, but we've got beauties of our own, don't we? So we're not ashamed of, but we like to think about sometimes about some of these things. So here we are. We hire a bulldozer operator, and he comes in and he clears the land, and we mark this spruce and this willow and this aspen to be saved because they are placed just right and they're just perfect for what we're envisioning as a surrounding for our home in the woods. And then the house goes up, and with the passing of seasons, the rains come and the winds come, and we discover that these trees that were so perfect are going down. They're not able to stand it because there is such an intermeshing of root systems that have been disturbed that these trees haven't developed the strength to stand alone. In that story is a lesson for us. There is both the beauty of body life and being closely tied and supported by each other, but there are also things that we're missing when we are so sheltered. And so let us recognize the individual challenge and responsibility that we have to draw near to Christ and to put our roots down into Christ and into the Word as we live in the beauty of a Sunday morning experience as this and other times, where we draw our spiritual nourishment and we fellowship and we strengthen each other. The Scripture is full. There's lots of beauty here. The Scripture is full of these one anothering terms. And I think I saw a list that had some 29 or something one time when I just checked somebody else's scouring of the Scriptures. Different terms of love one another, encourage one another, build up each other, or whatever all it was. And it's just tremendous that, you know, it's God's design that we are in a body. But it's also God's design that we face up to who we are and His call upon our lives. And it's really foremost that we were in connection to Him. And so I'm going to spend a few minutes, I've got a few here, just reminding you that we can fail. Have you ever seen a squirrel miss the branch and fall? You know, we marvel at a squirrel, and it's an expert at tightrope walking and whatever, and yet it can fall, it can miss it. And, of course, they're light enough and cat-like enough or such that it's usually not a major catastrophe. Have you ever seen a bird fly full speed into a window? Have you ever seen, as a hunter, maybe you glory in this one, a deer walk up close to a hunter thinking, what, evidently that this is a stump, and loses its life? Or have you ever seen deer bucks lock antlers in their fighting and perish, either dying of thirst or getting drowned as they drag each other into the pond? These are ways that some of the best, the most skilled of animals can fail. But you know, these experts of flight, leaping, fleet-footed running, and tightrope walking can fail and be instructive to us who also, we start out so with a blank slate of skills, so innocently, and we learn to walk, and we learn to talk, and we learn so many of the basic things of life, and we become skilled. And some of these things are more a characteristic of you or of me. And humankind is the master, supersedes all of creation for its potential to fail. Man is nature's great blunderer. most heavily endowed with the capacity to make mistakes, which is the negative of all the positive as far as that's concerned. Man can more easily fall and with a greater variety of ways than a mere animal. We humans can make mistakes in our relationships that are far-reaching. The consequences can go on and on for years and even for generations. When two dogs or cats are mismated, little harm is done. But when two people who are wrong for each other marry and have children, it can be the beginning of a long string of tragedies. Quarrels, divided loyalties, misshapen personalities that are passed down through generations sometimes. Last week, a young man who had visited a counselor for assistance in his personal and married life reflected with confusion and question over the news that the counselor and his wife were separated and filing for divorce. So it is that sometimes Christian counselors and leaders unfortunately fail, and they let down the people that are around them. You know, the messy morals of some famous people, like sports figures, singers, and movie stars, can have disastrous effects upon people who gullibly glamorize them. And, yeah, these are man's tragedies. We can slip, flounder, and fall so wretchedly and with such far-flung consequences. But it is also true, as I've indicated before, man's ability to make mistakes is indicative of his wide range of choices and possibilities. You know, a boy can be manly or beastly. A girl can be ladylike or a brat. But a kitten can be nothing more or less than a cat. Its possibilities are pretty strictly limited. And church leaders and evangelists don't invite these other creatures to love God or to follow Christ. It's only humans that can make this wondrous choice. And it's only humans that can deny Christ or refuse to follow him. And that's, I guess, part of man's glory, that God gave him all this choice and range of possibilities, and that God, designing man to be a race, we all inherited sinfulness as a result of our forebears, and so God, being a God of grace and justice, worked out that another racial representative could work out his plan of salvation, and that is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. You know, back in October the 12th, 1942, Christopher Columbus discovered America, but he had blundered badly. When he reached the east coast of the Bahamas and thought that he had sailed to the East Indies, and he called the natives there Indians. But Columbus was 10,000 miles and two continents away from India and the Indies. He died in the year 1506, 14 years later, still supposing that he had reached the east by sailing westward. What a glorious blunder he made. His apparent failure was his ultimate success. And two we remember, don't we? The shadow of a cross that once spread across the world, spelling the end of Jesus of Nazareth. It seemed like the end. To all appearances, the cross finished him and his hopes. He had failed. But we now call each year A.D., short for a Latin phrase that means the year of our Lord. As if each year and all of our years now and forever are his. The centuries reveal what was hidden on the day of his execution, that apparent failure And that failure can mean final victory when God is in control of things. You and I have to be careful. Paul said, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Even in the things that we become skilled at and can take some satisfaction in, we have to remember that we can slip up and fall, and that the fall can be harmful to us and those close to us. But God is faithful and gracious. The scriptures still say that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Oh, the wonders of the plan of God, who is still working that all things can work together for good to those that love him. Let us kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lessons of Scripture and the lessons of life, and we thank you that you are in control of many things, and that you also have patience in giving to humankind the choices. We can't choose the consequences, but we can choose many things. So we pray that you would help us to be thoughtful, to be appropriately humble, and yet also responsible, to turn to you for the transformation of mind and the protection of soul and body, that we can be living sacrifices for you, fitted for the work you have for us in the body of Christ, that we may exercise with faithfulness and willingness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.